Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Apostle E.J. Melvin coming to you live from the studio at Waves of Glory. And this morning we are going to be talking about economic empowerment and the wealth transfer. Thank you so much, first of all, for tuning in with us today. And I just want to say something big is coming and something good is about to happen to you. If you have had your ear to the spiritual radar, listening to the prophets of this season, you will hear that they are all in tune, all speaking the same word, that there is coming a wealth transfer in the year 2016. We just heard and listened to a video clip of Cindy Trim speaking into the lives of the people of God, declaring 2016 as the year of the entrepreneur. And so this morning, as we speak about the wealth transfer and economic empowerment, we are going to see how it is the plan of God for his people to prosper. In fact, the word of God declares that he takes delight in the prosperity of his people. So don't let those naysayers fool you and tell you that prosperity is something that God is not a part of, and that it's just the people, people of in ministry trying to get your money. I'm telling you that it is in the Word of God. He takes delight in the prosperity of his servants. First of all, today we're going to talk about what is economic empowerment. Economic empowerment is just what Jesus declared when he stood up in the temple and read out of the book of Isaiah and the scroll out of Isaiah chapter 61. He declared that the anointing was upon him to preach the gospel to the poor. Now, what is the gospel? The gospel is good news. So then, what is good news to the poor? Good news is there is a way out of your poverty, and it is called economic empowerment. Throughout the life of Jesus Christ, you will see that he always went into the communities of the poor, of the downtrodden, of the broken, of the lame, of the maimed, of those who were in need of healing, restoration, and restitution. And his message was the gospel of the kingdom, which empowers people in every aspect of their lives. We see that when he worked with Peter and James and John, when he used their boat to preach from the shore, to push out away from the shore, he then rewarded them with a draught of fishes that they could sell and use to be a blessing to their families. God does not want you to be broke. He does not want you to be in lack. He does not want you to be poor. And if you go from Genesis to the book of Revelation, you will find those people that were heralded as the fathers of the faith were prosperous in every way. Hey, bless the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go back and talk about Jacob right now. We're in the book of Genesis this morning. We're in chapters 30 and 31. For those of you who are scholars or at least have read your Bibles, you know that Jacob was a supplanter. We know that he was one who was a trickster, who was very clever in the way that he lived his life, and that he had stolen his brother's birthright by tricking their father into blessing him. But before that, we know that when he was born, God had already told his mother that he was going to be the head and not the tail, that the older would serve the younger. It was already in the plan of God. But Jacob just had a knack for working out a deal in his own favor. And so we see because of that, it caused him to have to leave home, leave his father's land, leave his family, and run to his uncle Laban, praise the Lord, who was likewise a very trickster kind of a man. He was always into the deal for what it would get for him. So in Genesis chapter 30,
Jacob has now married two of Laban's daughters, Leah and Rachel, and he's ready to go back home to his family. So he is asking Laban to release him and all of his wages so that he can take his wife and his substance and go back home to his homeland. Knowing Laban, his answer to what Jacob is asking is like, well, I know that my life has been financially blessed because you're in the house. He says, I'm blessed by associating with you, so please stay with me a little longer. What will you give me if you, what would you want of me if you just stay with me a little longer? Now, if you know the history of Laban, he has tricked Jacob twice by giving him the wrong daughter to marry. He had to work 7 years to marry Rachel, but on the wedding night, Laban switched the wives and gave him Leah. So in order to marry Rachel, he had to work another 7 years. And so that's 14 years he is really working kind of in bondage, because it's not of his own desire that he's staying there. He's doing it in order to pay for his bride. That's the bride price that he has to pay for this wife. So now it's 14 years, and he's ready to leave, and Laban says, oh, please stay a little longer. I mean, the nerve of the dude. How much longer would he need to stay? So he says, Jacob says to him, I don't want you to give me anything, except let's make a deal. Now, this, people of God, is how the wealth transfer occurs. We studied last week the power to get wealth, and that word get means to make or construct deals. Amen. So here Jacob says to Laban, I say let's make a deal. All of the cattle that are spotted or ring-straight will be mine, and all of the cattle that are in your flock, or cattle, sheep at that time were called cattle too, all of those that are solid color will remain yours. Now listen to this. Laban looks over his flock. He sees that there is not very many that are speckled and spotted or ringed straight. So he says, hey, that's a good deal. That means to me, if all of those, only those are his, it's going to take him quite a long time to acquire a great flock enough to go back home. So yes, let's make a deal. So he separated his flock from the few little sheep that he was giving to Jacob. But it, let me tell you, God already had a plan. Because we find later on, Jacob's flock begins to flourish. We see that he went into the fields and he cut some pieces of wood, and he spotted it and stripped pieces of the bark off, and he would take these pieces of wood and place them in the water trough in the eyesight of the ewes, so that when they were in heat, when they came to the trough to get drink, there they would mate with the rams in front of those spotted sticks. Because they did so, then when they bore calves or lambs, these would be spotted and ring straight. And so then Jacob's herd began to grow. So when the ewes came to the trough, if they were sickly or weak, he would not put the rods in the water. But if they were strong ewes, he would put the rods in the water so that when they conceived, they would be looking at these rods speckled and striped. And listen, I went into the research, the Wikipedia, the Urban Dictionary, or whatever I could find, to find out why is it that these lambs, these ewes, would bring forth spotted and striped young when they looked into these rods. And it describes to me the effect that the eyes of the lamb or the ewe are 360. Their peripheral vision is better than the sight looking straight ahead. They can look straight ahead and see what's behind them. That's how good their peripheral vision is. But looking straight ahead, they can't see that well. But the light that goes into their eyes determines what levels of hormones and precursors are released into their system. So when they're looking forward at these striped and spotted rods. When the sunlight hits the rods, it hits the white places. Remember, he cut the rods that were green. So when he stripped different places, it made the rods spotted, so that when the sunlight hit the rods, the sheep would be able to see the white spots. This light would be magnified in the eyes, in the frontal vision of the sheep, so that when that light hit their eyes, it would hit some receptors in the brain, glory to God, and then the precursors and the hormones would be released, and it would cause the ewes to bring forth spotted offspring. This is ingenious. Now, Jacob got this strategy from the hand of God. Remember, now he has been working with sheep and Laban's herd, sheep and goats, for 14 years. So he knows what to do in order to get the sheep to breed properly. But he doesn't know what to do in order to get his sheep to be spotted and striped, until we find in Genesis chapter 31, he begins to talk to his wives about how he got the wealth transfer. He says to them, "I was with the sheep one day in the field, and I saw in a dream." In other words, he had a vision, and in the vision, an angel came to him and said, "See how the animals, when the rams come to mate with the ewes, when they're in the environment of these trees that have spots, some of the bark has been peeled off of them. Notice how those are the ewes that are bringing forth the spotted and streaked offspring." So God himself sends to Jacob the strategy to begin to build his herd. Listen, when Jacob made the deal with Laban, he had already had the vision. This is why he could say, "Ooh, glory to God, I'll just take those that are spotted and ring streaked." Now, Laban, in his natural understanding, could look with his natural eye and see that there were not many, so it didn't matter to him. Sure, go ahead and take those few little lambs. He thought he was cheating Jacob again, for he had cheated him by changing his wages 10 different times over the 14 years that Jacob worked for him. So now God has given Jacob the upper hand. He has given him insight. You could say it's like on the stock market, when those men get the information ahead of time, which is illegal for them. They call that insider trading, and then they begin to buy up the stocks that they know are going to go off the charts. Well, this is what's happening in the fields now, but by the Spirit of God, he sends a word to Jacob by an angel and says, "Watch how this mating happens. Then Jacob must do something. This is how the wealth transfer is going to happen for you and for me." Sometimes we think that when God sends a word of economic empowerment and wealth transfer, we think we're just going to sit in the church and clap our hands and dance and run around, and then wealth is just going to show up in our bank account. But listen to me this morning. We have to put in some effort. We have to have something in our hand in order for God to bless. So here now, God has given Jacob divine strategy. Jacob could have stood by the water trough and just waited and done nothing else, and he would not have received a wealth transfer. But because he followed the instruction and broke those branches, peeled off different sections of the branches so the white part would show forth, then he put those rods in the trough, and when the ewes made it, they made it and brought forth the same kind of young that he had struck a deal with his father-in-law for. So then what happens is, over the course of time, we find that it takes about 4 to 5 months for the ewe to bring forth the lamb. Over the course of time, his herd begins to multiply, while Laban's herd does not multiply. Or if it does multiply, it multiplies with the weaker ones, because Jacob is making sure that when the weak or sickly ewes come to mate, he does not put those rods in the trough. and so now his herd is on the rise, on the increase. After a season, Laban notices now that Jacob's flock is growing and they are strong and they're healthy, but they are spotted and they are straight. That is what he agreed to. He notices that his herd is not growing as fast and the ones that are there are weak and frail. And so his countenance begins to change. So Jacob knows that something is about to go down. And once again, the angel of the Lord says, get up and leave. And he now tells his wives, we have to get out of here because your father's attitude towards us is changing. And so Laban is upset because he says that all his wealth has now been taken away by Jacob. There is only a small fraction of inheritance for his sons because the wealth transfer has occurred subtly and right under his nose. This is what God is wanting to do in your life in the year 2016. But you, my brother or sister, have to be in the position to prosper. There is something that you're going to have to do in order for God to multiply it. You can't just sit on the couch and do nothing. You can't just sit and pray and meditate. You have to be in position to receive. Every time we see that Jesus did the miracle of multiplication, there was always an overflow. There was always a remnant of fragments left over. When he fed the 5,000 men and women and children beside, there were 12 baskets left over. Amen. Somebody's life was blessed by those 12 baskets, but somebody didn't have a basket. I'm willing to believe that if there had been more baskets available, there would have been more overflow, because there is no lack in the kingdom of God. He is a God of abundance, and Jesus promised that he had come to give us life, and that more abundantly. So abundant life is the prosperity gospel, and that prosperity is not limited to finances, but it does not exclude finances. That prosperity is health, wealth, and wisdom. So don't be tricked or deceived. Don't be on the side of those who not prosperity preaching, because the gospel includes prosperity. Any person who knocks the prosperity gospel will attract lack into their lives. And if you want to prosper in the year 2016, do not allow people around you who are going to knock the prosperity message. It is a message of good news. It is in the Word of God. It is in the plan of God. And throughout His Word, you're going to see it happen over and over again. We can also look at Joseph, who was sold into slavery, sold down into Egypt by his brethren. Amen. And he's of the seed of Jacob. And what has happened to Jacob is now happening in this next generation, happening to Joseph. Joseph is sold off by his brothers. He is sold to a caravan. He goes into slavery. He is sold to one of the governors of the Pharaoh, Potiphar. He goes into Potiphar's house. He's a great blessing to the house, and Potiphar puts him over everything in the house. But the wife has decided that she wants this young man for herself. He refuses. He lives and walks in integrity before God, and she accuses him of rape. Now, her husband knows who she is and how she is, but because this man is a foreigner and he understands that it would be detrimental for him to take the word of Joseph over the word of his wife, he has him imprisoned. He could have had him killed, but he has him put in prison. Now Joseph goes down from a place of preeminence in the house of Potiphar. He's now in the jailhouse. He is a member of the prison population. Listen, I want to say this word to those of you who may have someone in prison whose life may even be in despair right now because they're locked up. Let them have this word that a change is coming. A wealth transfer is possible for you no matter what your current situation is. But Joseph is now down in the prison. Glory. glory to God. And God once again elevates him until he's the head warden down in the prison. He is one of the warden's number one prisoners, and he becomes a leader in the prison. Understand this. Once the blessing of God is on your life, it doesn't matter your location. God is going to cause you to increase and to prosper. Even the word of the Lord in Psalm 115:13 says that you cause me to increase more and more, me and my children. So let that be your declaration on a daily basis, that God causes you to increase more and more, even you and your children. So here now he's head of the jail, and the butcher and the baker are thrown in prison. They each have a dream. Hallelujah. God is working behind the scenes, and Joseph has the ability to interpret dreams. We see back in Jacob had the ability to receive interpretation in dreams of the dreams that he had. Now Joseph is a dreamer, and he's in this prison. The butcher and the baker both have dreams. God takes that dream, gives Joseph the interpretation, and he says to the one who's to be delivered, remember me when you get to Pharaoh's house. Now, of course, the baker did not remember him, praise the Lord, and he forgot about him for a season. And then Pharaoh had a dream. He was ready to kill his people because they could not interpret the dream. He was frustrated. But once again, the hand of God moved, and the baker remembered, there's a man that you have in prison who is good at interpreting dreams. In an instant, listen, in an instant, Joseph's position changed from being a prisoner to being called into the house of Pharaoh. When he interpreted the dream of Pharaoh, Pharaoh promoted him immediately to a position that was second to none, except to the Pharaoh. Now he is the governor of the nation, and he is making policy, and he is the minister of Commonwealth. He's now the minister of the Commonwealth, so that the people have to come to him and make contracts and do deals concerning the next 7 years of prosperity, so that all the wealth of Egypt now is in the hand of Joseph. Overnight, he goes from being a prisoner with nothing except the rags on his back to being prime minister of Egypt and handling all of the finances of a nation. Listen to me. God has a suddenly that is prepared for your life likewise. If you will receive the word of the Lord today, a wealth transfer is about to happen in your life. It can be over a season of the next 12 months, or he can do it immediately the way he did it for Joseph. Now Joseph did not know that he was minutes away from becoming prime minister. He did not know he was a few seconds from becoming prime minister. All he knew was that God made a promise concerning him, had given him a dream that he would in one day be a leader that others bowed down to, and he held fast to the vision that God gave him when he was a young boy. And so I want to call up the visions in your sanctified mind today, in your spirit man, the things that God promised you when you were but a young person, a young woman, or a young man. God made a promise to you. God said something in your spirit. He put a seed in your spirit, and now is the season and the set time for that seed to begin to prosper and to multiply exponentially. So the coming wealth transfer is connected to that which God has already declared would be. It is up to you today to get up, to stand up, to say, yes, Lord, to say, I believe, I receive, that it is my season. This is my time. This is my appointed time in you to prosper. And then begin to put your hand to the thing that God called you to put your hand to, and to spend time in the presence of God so that you can get divine strategy. Don't just look at what others are doing, because what others may be doing may be working for them, but it may be not the thing that God wants you to do. He wants to give you the wealth of the wicked. We are always touting that particular scripture that the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the righteous. But let me tell you, the sinner's not just going to walk up to you and hand you that which they worked hard for. Neither does God want it to happen that way. You know, when we speak about the five talents, two talent, one talent servant, God is not fond of laziness. God is not fond of idleness. God is not fond of you sitting there waiting, just praying. Your prayers are going to get results when you get up off of your knees and begin to put feet to your faith. It is time for you to get in position to prosper. Listen, God is moving by His Spirit. We have just launched a t-shirt line for the prophetess Colette Williams out of Zimbabwe, Africa. God told her, gave her the vision, gave her the brand, gave her the name, gave her what she should be doing. And the enemy came in and stole from her that beginning. But God restored her in the month of November. The t-shirts and the hoodies are available now, and the rest of the promise is sure to come to pass. And so God is wanting you to know that just like from overnight to morning, the t-shirt line was birthed and put into the marketplace, there is a way for you to do what God would have you to do. Listen, I am Apostle E.J. Melvin. I am anointed for economic empowerment. I am anointed to help create the next generation of entrepreneurs. I am anointed by God to preach the gospel to the poor. I am anointed to help you become the millionaire that God wants you to become. I am anointed to help bring you into your wealthy place. And that is what I'm desiring to do today. So if you are interested in going to your wealthy place, if you have an idea of what it is that God said to you, or even if you don't have an idea, because I am prophetic in that area, just talking with you, God will reveal to me that which He is going to bless you in financially. Praise the Lord. And so I'm just going to ask you to connect with me. You can connect with me through my blog, which is www.yourmarketplaceapostle.com, and leave a comment there in the comment section. Or you can connect with me on Facebook. You can connect with me by writing me an email at yourmarketplaceapostle@gmail.com. But whatever you do, get in touch with me. I'm available to help you get to your wealthy place. Thank you today. I want to thank you for being here with us on the broadcast talking about economic empowerment. It is a God thing. It's on the horizon. It is in the realm of the spirit. Prophets everywhere prophesying it. They all can't be wrong. They're not just coming up with it because they heard the last prophet say, but each one is witnessing to the word that the last one has prophesied. You can get in the flow and believe God according to His word. He says, believe God, you will be established. Believe His prophets, and you will what? Prosper. So the ball is in your court now. It's all up to you, whatever it is you want from God this year. Coming, we are preparing for 2016. We're not yet done in the year 2015. I declare that December will be the year of positioning, the month of positioning for the coming year. So get it done today. Contact me today so that I can help you become prepared for the coming harvest. The wealth transfer is upon us. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, has arrived, is in our midst, glory to God. It's happening even today. I'm living in the overflow. This is Apostle E.J. Melvin saying, you're not here to be average. You are here to be awesome. God bless you, and may you have an awesome week.